Hey everybody, it's the New York Knicks podcast, part of Dash Radio, and we are joined with two-thirds of the worldwide Knicks podcast, Alex and Raphael. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks, Jay. Thanks for inviting us on. Looking forward to talking some Knicks. We've got a little bit of news to talk about, finally, over the summer. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Stuff is finally happening. I'm happy about it. Thank you. Thank you, Raphael, too.
Yeah, thanks for having us, for inviting us to get us something to do in the summer. It's I got sick of talking about the same things all over again. So, yeah, let's talk about something new, please.
Stuff is finally happening, and I am so happy to just not be talking about Donovan Mitchell every single week. So we will not be covering that this week. We do have a few things planned for you guys, and I think this is going to be a fun show. So I'm not sure what you guys want to jump into first. We had a couple of topics thrown out there. Cam Reddish, you guys want to start with that?
Oh yeah.
There seems to be a Knicks civil war going on about Cam Reddish right now.
Well, there's a bit of worldwide Knicks civil war going on. Me and Rafa get on great, but this is one thing that we have had a little disagreement on. So, yeah.
So for you guys that don't listen to our pod, me, Alex, and Omar all have one of the young guys that we absolutely love. It's the guy we can't do no wrong, or Knicks player, basically. And we all have a guy that we can take, or we trash talk way too much, and we should. So I love RJ Barrett, and I'm way too critical of Emmanuel Quickly, and I know that. Omar lives alone in Julius Randle Island, and he doesn't like Obi, so kind of makes sense. And well, Alex, he loves Cam Reddish.
No. I'm a huge Grimes fan. So, Cam Reddish. Well, let's start off by just saying, you know, I don't hate Cam Reddish at all. I just don't see what the fuss is about. Really, that's where it comes down to. And you know, he's a 10th, 11th, 12th best man on the team. You know, I just don't know why we get so obsessed with having to play him so many minutes or get him in the team or starting. You know, I've seen things about him starting over the summer. Where did that come from? You know, I just don't get it, really. I can see the huge potential in Grimes, and you know, I see a great fit with Brunson and RJ. I think the three of them would work great. So I'd really like to see that start the season. I'm not convinced Grimes will start the season, but I think by the end of the season, certainly you should be kind of cemented in the team. So, yeah.
What
I also
about
have my OB reservations as well, but yeah.
What about you, Raphael? What's your take on Cam?
I understand the skepticism about Cam Reddish. I don't think he should start at all. I agree with that. I don't know where that came from, because he didn't do anything, well, other than get injured with the Knicks to demand a starting position off the bat. I think Grimes right now is ahead of him. Mm-hmm. I think he would even be a better fit, but in anything. But Cam needs, I think Cam needs to play. Man, if he got to start in Atlanta over Hunter and Herter, I mean, they saw something in him. I don't know if it's his motor is not as high as he should be, or what it is, but if he started in Atlanta and we all knew when he went down hurt, something that happens a lot as well, he gets hurt, is the team, Atlanta felt him, and the fans were just, we lost Cam Reddish, we are suffering from it. So he's a guy, he's a lengthy guy, he can help. I think he would need to play. I think he would be perfect off the bench. But we have a body too much right there. It's a Fournier. It's because RJ is starting, and then there's doubt between Fournier and Grimes. And if Quickly is playing the two because the Rose is playing the one, if you take out Fournier from the starting lineup, so he gets played in the bench, he gets the second unit. So where does Cam play? That's the problem. We need something out, something there. We have one body too much right there.
I think there is a little bit of a gap in the three spot. I know it's all positionless basketball, but I think the three spot is maybe something that needs strengthened. You know, with, you know, RJ's obviously getting the bulk of his minutes there now, but you know, who's really backing him up there? Forney and Grimes and Quickly, they're really more shooting guards. You know, I don't know if we've really got somebody that can come in and back up RJ at the three spot. So I think there is a space for him, but it's, you know, how the team unfolds, I think, is going to be interesting. So
you think there's going to be another move in the making? I know a lot of people are really excited about Rose. Rose is tweeting he's back down to his rookie weight and he's in shape. On the other hand, he played about 23 games last season,
mm-hmm.
and that's the backup point guard right now. So do you think Rose is a key part of this team, or do you think the Knicks should maybe move on from Rose and bolster either the backup point guard position or the three?
I mean, I love Derrick Rose. I mean, it's I think he's in a perfect spot. I don't know why you'd want to trade somebody that's, you know, happy to come off the bench. You know, he's obviously a great mentor. All these guys that are coming through, you know, IQ especially, you know, is going to look up to him. You know, he's probably, as he was growing up, going to be, you know, Rose was probably one of his heroes growing up, you know, and they've clearly clicked from the last two seasons. So you've got a guy that's, you know, not going to be pushing or complaining about not getting happy to play that mentor role. He's the perfect mentor playing wise that you can have. He's probably going to miss a huge amount of games, as you said, Jay, you know, so there's going to be space for Quickly to get more minutes there. Maybe even, say, for Cam to step up into that kind of at least bench role. So yeah, I don't really see that contract would be hard to move as well. Maybe at the deadline, if a contender's looking, somebody like the Lakers that, you know, could do with somebody like him, you know, if Westbrook's gone, especially. So yeah, I mean, he might have some value at the deadline, but I can't see anybody wanting to come in on that size of contract to take him away just now. But I'm quite happy with that. You know, I think he's in the perfect spot right now. I think there's more bigger problems on the team than Derrick Rose right now. So
yeah, I mean, there's not a problem with Derrick Rose, but I think it depends on how the coaching staff and the front office looks at Quickly. Is he a one? Is he a two? What is he? Because if you want him to develop as a point guard, okay, he learns from playing alongside Derrick Rose, but last year when Rose went down and he when we got point guard Burks way too long, when we got that and Quickly went into the second unit, especially after January's February like that, he flourished. He got better. He improved because he started the season wasn't that great, and he improved while playing that point guard position. So I don't know if the front office or the coach or Tibbs or whoever doesn't see him as a true point guard, then I would be okay, don't trade Derrick Rose. But if you want him to develop as a second point guard, as the backup point guard, Quickly has to play the point guard because it's his third year. So this year, or I think it's this year, you have to give him a contract. What type of contract do you give him? It's we need to make decisions, basically. And I don't know if it's Quickly can be gone or even Obi can be gone, because if we keep Randall, so we need, I think someone will get traded. It's a tough position, but I have no idea who can it be.
Mm-hmm. Alex, you were talking about bigger problems on the team. What were you referring to?
Well, I mean, I was going to say, I mean, with the team as it is at the moment, I think we've had a huge upgrade at the center position with Hartenstein coming in. I think there's just a really nice blend of styles at that spot now. I think with Noel and Mitch, it was just too similar. And I think I mean, it's not a secret, but you know, there's an obvious problem at the power forward spot. We talked last summer actually about how I think we're going to have another year of Obi before his agent's going to start getting in his ear. He's going to start saying, you know, you need to start getting more opportunity. Maybe that has to be elsewhere. So I think that kind of chemistry with the team is going to start to crack. And I think it's starting to turn out like that. And I think the major problem with the two of them is that they should be able to coexist. I mean, it's not the first team that's got two players of good quality at the same position. And, you know, the usual way of dealing with it is to share the minutes at that position, but also to share, you know, to take some other minutes at other spots for, you know, power forwards can play the five or even step down to the three and play the three. But the problem with these two is that neither of them can play any other position. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I mean, people are talking about Randall playing the three. I just don't want to see that. Do you know, like, I'll be watching through my fingers if that's happening. Mm-hmm. And as for either of them playing the five, well, we know that Tibbs wants rim protection. Again, neither of them can give you rim protection. Yep. I can't see Tibbs playing it like that. Neither of them can defend pretty. You know, Randall's capable defender, but, you know, the effort level's not there. Mm-hmm. Obi's a train wreck in defense. Well, he certainly was in his first season. You know, he's improved a little bit, but you know, I just can't see it at all. That's the position. If you know, I think Obi was up to like 15, 20 minutes a game. So if he can hit that 20-minute mark, you know, and you know, Randall maybe, you know, 30 minutes, and then, you know, they can find a couple of minutes in garbage time or something for them to play other positions to try things out, fine. But I think that is still the major worry in this team as to how you kind of fit these two guys in. And yeah, we'd love to, you know, to see more trades, Fournier, Randall, but, you know, it's quite clear that, you know, there's not much of a market for them around the league. You know, I don't want to start attaching picks and things like that to get rid of these guys. You know, these guys should be assets. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's got to be managed better than that we take on all these players and then have to attach picks to get rid of them. So I think we're just going to have to make it work.
Rafael, what do you think about the lineups? Mark and I were talking the other episode that I think part of the lineup problem is that a lot of the guys on the roster seem to have a similar skill level, so nobody really stands mm-hmm. out and is the clear-cut guy for that position. And it's hard to allocate minutes. If you're Tibbs, what are you doing with the minute allocation? You can say somebody like Obi or Cam needs more minutes. Who are you taking from? Are they that much better than another player? What would you do with this roster?
There were no moves if we didn't make any moves. I mean, we had to target because we have a young team. It's not as bad as half or more than half of the Knicks fans or the NBA fans say we are. I don't think we are that bad. Mm-hmm. I think we are an upcoming team with young players and a few veterans to help us out. So, but it would like to be, it's plan we should be planning because to me, that's why we didn't pick this last draft. We punted the pick. We didn't do anything with the pick because it was just adding another body to the situation where we don't know what we want to do with these players. We give the contract to RJ Barrett, so the expectation is, okay, RJ Barrett is the guy we are moving forward with. But like you said, Jay, they're all very similar, very, very alike in the same territory, but we need to, okay, we are picking this guy to develop this one and this one. Let's go on with these guys and let them play. We need the coaching staff more than us has to know that, or they should know that. Like, let's bet on, imagine, let's throw names out there. RJ Barrett, Grimes, and Obi Toppin. These are the three guys we want to play more. Mm-hmm. I think we need to decide that. We know enough about the players, three-year players and two-year players. We should know what the players are going to develop into or would be believed to, and we have to give him those minutes to play. It's a tough decision because you don't want to trade your young players, but you do need to make decisions because then you get into this situation where you have too many people that need minutes to develop. To pick a lane. We need to pick a lane. It's Tibbs, or if it's Tibbs moving forward, or someone else, I don't know. Who are we moving with? Who are we going building around? RJ Barrett, we give him the contract, so must be him. Mitchell Robinson stays with the team. But we need to bet. It's because we won't get him enough money to pay them all. So we need to choose. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens as well along this season or before the next season starts. We trade our young guys as well to make room to the guys we really want to develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think part of the
argument. I was just going to say, Jay, there's too many good players and not enough great players in this team. That's the way it's been, all of last season. I think it needs to be more top heavy with talent. You'd mentioned before the pod, Jay, about the rankings list.
Mm-hmm.
About how far down the list we are. Well, that's why, there's not enough top heavy talent on the roster as far as I'm concerned. But so that needs to change over the next couple of years as the team develops.
It seems like most teams get their guys and then fill in the roster around them. The Knicks have gotten the rest of the roster and don't have the guys yet. And it seems like a hard way to build a team. Unless one of our guys develops. I know a lot of people think RJ is the guy. I hope he is. I remain a little bit skeptical. His efficiency is going to have to go up a lot for him to be the guy. I think he's a good piece. I think he's a keeper, but I'm not saying like, okay, we got RJ. Let's, we're a contender. I don't think he's there yet. But going to the rankings, ESPN did their top 100 player rankings. Knicks' highest player on the rankings was 63rd, which was RJ. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Just right, too high, too low for the Knicks' best player?
I think that's about right. I mean, we look at him as, we want him to be the guy. We're excited about him as a prospect. He deserved that deal. I would have given him even more, just as in, you're banking, you're gambling, whatever you want to call it, on your main prospect. I think if RJ's got that attitude, that I think if he doesn't become the player we want him to be, I think a lot of that will probably come down to our management of him as much as anything else. He seems to have everything he needs to be, a star, maybe not a superstar, but a star. He's got the kind of killer instinct. He's got the work ethic. I'm really looking forward to seeing him as, a prospect going forward. But yeah, I agree. I don't see him as, I've never really seen him as probably the number one option. What they were doing with Mitchell in the summer, sorry to talk about that. I know nobody wants to talk about it, but I think that kind of thing is what they're looking to do. They're looking to build up all these kind of good young prospects. So they can use them along with draft picks, to have value to make that kind of big splash for a top star. I think that's always been the plan ever since Rose came in. I think people saying about, the Knicks don't have a direction, they haven't picked a direction. Well, I think they've always had that direction. I think it's just a case of building up assets, building up picks, ready to make those moves, and just waiting for the opportunity. And I think the Mitchell thing just came along much earlier than they thought. But, they had to pick up the phone and see if they could, can get involved, because you don't know if that's ever going to come around again. So you have to at least have a conversation about, whether they can bring him in.
So ESPN was, and a lot of media outlets were kind of taking a little bit of a jab at the Knicks for not getting Mitchell. But from what I've read, the rejected offer was RJ Obi, Mitch, and three firsts. But and then they also ESPN ranked Donovan Mitchell as the 24th best player in the league. So does trading all those assets for the 24th best player in the league make you that much better? I would argue that that would have been a horrible mistake and would have put them in cap hell and still would not have made them a contender. But what are your thoughts on that?
I was happy with us not trading those many assets for Donovan Mitchell, and he's a great player, and it would be amazing for a guy from New York to play in New York. And to me, that brought so much more into this whole story, because if he wasn't from New York, this wouldn't have been as big as it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think, because it reminds me, not comparing players, but it reminds me when Kemba was signed by the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, people were crying, people were jumping, because, oh, the guy from New York is home.
Mm-hmm.
That was just Omar.
I was happy. I'm not going to lie. I jumped.
Me too.
And then I jumped and he hurt his knee. So, but yeah, Donovan Mitchell is a great player. But what we saw from him with the Utah Jazz, great team. But he was clearly, or to me, he wasn't the number one guy to bring a title to a team.
Mm-hmm.
He probably a great number two, but he would need a number one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of have number one, number twos and threes in our team. People say Randall's a two or a three, probably the third best player on a team. RJ Barrett can develop into a second best player on the team. So it reeked of Knicks of old, like get the second star, still chasing for the first star.
Mm-hmm.
That would never come.
Yep. I agree. I agree.
I mean, it's kind of okay. We would be much, much better. How much better with the same team? But okay. If we traded all those young guys, the plan was to team up Donovan Mitchell with Julius Randle.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a winning formula. I apologize.
I think the defense
that is not a winning formula.
Terrible defense.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. It's so for me that's the thing. Donovan Mitchell was great. If we were a step ahead,
mm-hmm.
if we knew that RJ Barrett was a stud, the efficiency up and all of everything, if Julius Randle was still an all NBA player, yes, bring Donovan Mitchell in, trade whoever, bring him in, become a legit contender.
Yeah,
NBA Julius Randle with Donovan Mitchell. I mean, it's different.
I think that's right, because you look at the Cavs roster. I mean, they've managed to trade for him without giving up any of their three best players. You know, we would have to give up RJ, who's our best player. They haven't had to give up any of their top three players, and they've still got the assets to move him. They've now got four excellent, probably all-star level players. And, you know, they've given up picks where all of these players, these four players in the Cavs roster are young, you know, potentially great players. Those picks are very likely going to be quite low picks, you know. So, the picks up don't matter so much to the Cavs. So they were in a perfect position. I think we are probably still a couple of years away from that position to make that move. But as I said, you know, I think the deal just came up earlier than they expected. And as I said, they had to have a go at least. But just going back, Jay, on that offer, so it totally surprised me, that offer. That I know it came from Woj, but I think, if I remember right, there was a interview with Begley recently, and he said that it was actually, that's what the Cavs wanted, I think, back in July. So the Knicks were basically pitched as to what will it take to make a move now, and that's what they asked for.
Mm-hmm.
They asked for Grimes, RJ, three underprotected picks, because it didn't make any sense to me. Why did it go from the Knicks offering three unprotected picks to suddenly 2 months down the line, oh no, we don't want to set, you know, even give up even close to three unprotected picks. I didn't understand why they made an offer, but then suddenly backtracked. So I think, you know, I don't think, you know, you can't look down at anything that Woj says, but, you know, is being wrong. But I think he might have got that the wrong way around, and that, you know, that was the asking price rather than that's what they actually offered. That's how it sounded anyway from what Begley said. So he's obviously a reliable source as well.
If the Knicks offered that, I would be shocked if the Jazz turned it down, because I feel like they ended up with a worse deal. The Knicks picks are most likely going to be better, especially if you do that deal. I don't think the Knicks are at the level that the Cavs are now. So those picks are better. And then I would rather RJ, Obi, and Mitch rather than Markkanen and two other guys that probably aren't even going to be in the rotation. So, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe Woj was doing a little bit of speaking for Ainge instead of reporting on what happened.
Yeah.
To me, this whole thing, it was just Leon Rose and Ainge just fighting each other. I think that right now they must hate each other just like to hell. They don't like each other. It was like so long. They dragged negotiations. The media was all over the place with different news. Obviously, things that were leaked by one team, leaked by the other team. Ainge saying this, Knicks saying that. It was so, so frustrating to all summer with this. And I think they just, it's like hanging the phone on him and saying, I hate this fucking guy. Like the immediate thought, like, I don't want to talk with this guy anymore. Mm-hmm. And I have to because of it. And this, people can say it's spinning it on everything, but the Jazz, I don't believe that this was the best deal the Jazz could have had. Sexton and Markkanen with a picks from a team that will be good for a long period of time.
So you think it was more of a spite thing? They got frustrated and just said, screw you guys, I'm taking this other offer?
I think so, yeah. I think so a bit. I mean, it's the worst deal. Even if they were only taking Grimes and Obi Toppin with the picks, with Knicks picks, with Fournier or for because of the cap, it's Grimes. Everybody's saying Grimes is going to be amazing. All of a sudden, he's going to be amazing. Obi, we still, I mean, you know what Markkanen is. That's Lauri Markkanen. Mm-hmm. If he improves tremendously, I will apologize to him. But that's Lauri Markkanen. Mm-hmm. That's his, what, third or fourth team now? Third, I think. And, well, Obi Toppin is a guy everybody say you can develop. Mm-hmm. So if you are a rebuilding team, don't you want guys to develop? Because Markkanen is in a big contract. Sexton, you will have to re-sign. And they didn't want to re-sign players, so that's why they didn't want RJ Barrett, but now they get Sexton. It's all over the places. And I think it was like, screw it. I'm not saying any Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks.
I don't really believe that. We talked about this in the pod that, you know, it would be absolutely insane for you know, to do a business deal like that. And I know he's an ex-player and everything, but, you know, doing that as a business deal for the sake of where the franchise is, that just out of spite, just makes zero sense to me. You know, Ainge is clearly he's clearly a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. He was trying to suck everything out of the Knicks that he could. And then I think the RJ re-signing, that just changed everything. And that, you know, as was reported at the time, just made the deal so much harder. I think they were planning to flip RJ somewhere else, you know, and that's just going to complicate everything else. And Ainge just said, right, you know, now the Cavs offer is looking a little bit more attractive. I think that's all it was. Let's see, it was that RJ deal that changed everything for me. So
it also came out, and this surprised me a little bit. Rose hired another guy to do the negotiations.
Yeah.
Which wasn't Scott Perry, the team president. And it seems like other teams are confused as to who's even in charge of the Knicks now, because you got this one guy making the negotiations. You got Perry's the president. You got Rose is the GM. You got Worldwide West doing whatever he's doing. And nobody seems to know who to talk to or who's in charge. I think Rose doesn't know what he's doing. Other people think Rose is playing 4D chess in the quantum realm or whatever. And I'm not buying it. What do you guys think of how Rose is doing? Were you guys a little disturbed that he wasn't even really involved in these negotiations?
It was a real head scratcher. I mean, as well, I mean, is Tibbs involved in any of these decisions as well? Because you know
Doesn't
he's
sound
come
like it.
from a yeah he's come from a coach GM position, coming back to just a can he keep his voice out the room? Do you know, like, I don't think so. So he's obviously got influence, the experience that he's got. You've got guys coming in like Rose and Worldwide Wes who've got no kind of front office experience. And there you've got a really experienced coach. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they're leaning on him for quite a lot of information. So you've got another voice in the room there. I mean, it's not such a bad thing, if you're making business decisions, to have that many opinions. The most important thing is that whoever's at the top makes the final decision. And yeah, it's so secretive as to, Rose just doesn't talk to the media. We don't know much about him, so we just don't know. I mean, he could be, a godfather figure in the room where it's just like, my decision's final, and all these voices just are opinions to him, gathering information and making a final call. So if that's the case, that's the case. He's obviously really experienced as an agent, so he's also got one of the best cap guys there are in the game. He's also got a great draft expert. He has surrounded himself with some really smart people. So, but yeah, this new guy who I can't even remember his name, yeah, that was a real strange one. I don't know where that came from. And I mean, maybe Utah are doing the same. Maybe they farmed out some of the negotiations to somebody as well. Maybe that's just the way these things are. So, but yeah, there's so much misinformation that came out after that that, yeah, you don't really know who to believe.
Yeah, it was kind of weird not seeing Rose up there, but him leading the charge at least. Kind of this whole situation, like you were saying with the Wes and Rose and everybody else, kind of feels like the Knicks team. They're all on the same level. You don't know who's in charge. Kind of feels like that same situation. But if you look at you said how Rose was doing, and if you look at the Knicks 4 years ago, let's 3 4 years ago, the state we were in, the situation we were in, I mean, we had no hope. He had nothing. It was just left lol Knicks just was what we were. And so we have to do a lot more, or the front office has to do a lot more, or it had to do and still has to me to do it, just not just building a team. You have to but basically clear our face, wash our face for the entire NBA. Here we have done a lot of bad moves all over the years. I mean, it was the most ridiculous stat that we didn't sign a rookie since Charlie Ward.
Insane.
That's ridiculous. That
Like
shows how
25
much we
years.
how crazy we are. Like, how? It's embarrassing. We trade everyone. We are a panic. We were a panic franchise wanting to win, and so we Rose's job with all the ones around surrounding him is to clean that name, take the mud out, because we have a lot of it. It's piled up for years and years. People still today, people and Knicks fans still talk about the Phil Jackson era, how bad that was. And we talk about Isaiah Thomas. I mean, it's years and years of bad decisions, bad management. We need to clean up the fame. We need to show the players around the league that, look, see, you play well for us 1 year. We give you some money to say thank you because you're a big part of the season. Like, we give to Noel and Burks and Gibson. None of it worked this year, but okay, you you guys, you made it did amazing for us. I'm not going to just ship you somewhere else. You stay with the Knicks because we are a loyal franchise now. We weren't a loyal franchise. Just ask around.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. They definitely needed to wash some egg off of their face.
I mean, the record that we had this past year, it was what everybody thinks of as a poor season, but the apart from the season before that, where we obviously had the great record, the last season that came even close to the record of last season was back in 2013. Do you know, like you got 17 wins, 32 wins, 31 wins, 29 wins, 17 wins, 21. Do you know, like, I think there's got to be a bit of perspective on it. I think the season before last was so overachieving. The expectations have just kind of got too far. Yeah, last season was pretty bad, but, you know, I think we've got to remember where we came from before that, so...
Three out of the worst four seasons in franchise history were during that stretch.
Yeah.
And the Knicks were the first team in the NBA. So that's...
Daggers, just... I feel them all, just the daggers coming back. They're coming back.
I know.
Yeah.
God. This team, man. That's why I have a podcast. I need therapy. I need it. I go crazy with this team. It's...
That's what I was saying to Rafa earlier, Jay, that, you know, I've always loved the perspective of your pod that, you know, it's just like, you know, you're two guys sitting in a bar sort of thing, not pretending to be well-informed or anything, just kind of talking Knicks. I've always kind of loved that idea, and I kind of take that on myself. And, you know, it's as Rafa said to me, it's just therapy. You know, I need to talk it out. You know, when I get to a Sunday night, I've got all that built up frustration from the week we're watching the Knicks that, you know, I just need to let it all out.
Yep.
So,
exactly.
yeah,
that's how we started. Actually, we started a comedy podcast in 2008, and after the show, we would bitch about the Knicks, and we're like, well, why don't we just record this and make this a second show? And so we started it right before the Knicks signed Amari, thinking, well, this is the perfect timing. They got a young core. They're adding this all-star. They're going to be good for a long time. This is, you know, we're just timing this perfectly. And, well, we all know how that played out.
Yeah. Yeah, perfectly. Amazing.
So
I was saying, at least we got a Jeremy Lin documentary to watch. It's the highlight of all those years. 2 week period. The Knicks, best 2 weeks of my life.
I'm looking at Alex's Lynn jersey in the background.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm putting him up next to Bernard King as well. You know, that's how highly I rate him. So.
The Knicks have had such a poor streak. There are multiple documentaries on a 2 week streak from the regular season. And that's like the highlight of the last like 25 years.
Yeah. Although
put it on the rafters.
It did. Those 2 weeks did feel like 25 years, though. It was just, it did not feel like 2 weeks, put it that way.
It was a good time. It was a good time. Yeah. I actually,
it was.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it was those 2 weeks, and we mentioned a lot on the pod, on our pod with Omar. That's winning season from the Knicks when we were all home with COVID. It was so uplifting. Give us so much hope. It's like, look at what we look, Dolan, everybody else, look at what we do when we're happy with the team. Please let us win.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Most passionate fans in the world. It's great.
Sometimes over
crazy, man.
I've actually, we joined a podcast network and they messed up our feed and the first couple hundred episodes fell off. So I've been uploading them to Patreon and I just got up to uploading the Jeremy Lin episodes today. So figured it was good timing with the Lin Sanity documentary coming out. So patreon.com/NYKnicksPodcast for $1, you can get the first 107 episodes, including six straight Jeremy Lin episodes, and catch, you know, the first episode we're like, oh, that was kind of random. This random guy off the bench did good, to like the very next episode going, oh my God, this is the real thing. and to it all being over like a week and a half after that.
Jay, I was going to ask you, so I was an early listener, I think maybe about 2011, something like that.
Oh, wow.
And I think I was wondering, were you guys the first really Knicks-only podcast? Because I know...
I don't know if we were the very first. I know when we started, there wasn't much out there. Yeah. And then... a lot of them fell off. They couldn't take it anymore. So if we're not the oldest Knicks podcast out there, we are one of them. Still haven't made it like other podcasts that have started after us, but we're still going and we're happy with, we got a passionate fan base. It might not be gigantic, but it's passionate.
Yeah. It's therapy, man. It's therapy.
It is.
It helps us through the rough nights. I mean, I was watching Knicks most of my life alone, watching the Knicks lose at 2 a.m., 1 a.m., 3 a.m., here alone in Portugal in my room. Just like, why am I staying awake for this? Mm-hmm. Oh, they play in 2 days. I will be awake for this. It was... I love staying up to watch Ron Baker play. It's a dream. It was a dream. It was amazing, yeah. And I'm here, and now I can talk about it. And I feel much, much lighter. It's mm-hmm. Every Sunday, like Alex said, it's okay. I will say it everything, but thank God I have Twitter as well, where I unload all of the crap I want to say. It's awesome.
So we got Portugal, we got Scotland, we got Detroit. Tell us about how the Worldwide Knicks podcast started and what you guys are about.
Okay, so. Basically, we all met through Twitter. We all were tweeting about the Knicks. This is how I found them on Twitter. And there was a guy on Twitter named Frez. Shout out to Frez. He was he's from England as well. And so he was let's gather all the Knicks fans in a WhatsApp group so we can chat about it. So I feel like an intruder because I'm the only non-English speaker in it. Everybody is talking about, here in Scotland, here in England, Scottish, we do this. Yes. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're doing, what you're talking about. But yeah, there was a period late when we were watching games at night or the day after. It was always me, Alex, and Omar speaking the most. So I one day I messaged, because sometimes I talk with Omar, only the two of us, I DM'd him. And I was like, "And we should start a podcast with Alex." And he was like, "Let's do it. Let's ask Alex." And I'm he has kids. I don't think he will get into this. Alex, want to be part of the podcast? Sure, why not? And that was it. Basically, really simple. Just we talk all the time about the Knicks. Let's throw it into a podcast.
Must have been
it was
drunk.
An interest conversation with the wife. It was an interest conversation. I'm gonna start a podcast.
And we're going to record it 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yes. Although I'm watching the games and all. So
we've not met in person. I mean, I've been over in New York quite a few times, but not since we started the pod. So Omar's not that far away from New York, and he grew up there. So anytime I think me or Rafa or both of us go over, I think he would be. On a plane, and we'd all meet up in New York and go to a game. So
that's really cool.
Music in the background, and each of us running from a different direction, hugging in the center, or something like that. That's how I imagine it.
That's awesome. Congrats on your 1 year anniversary, right, of your podcast?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was a dream. It was a good season for it.
It's like Linsanity. You know about that, sometimes right? Feels like 100 times longer than it's been, but yeah, it's been good. It's been a good laugh.
Yeah, some good moments at least. Mm-hmm. Some terrible ones, but some good ones as well.
Yeah, at least it didn't fall apart as quickly as when we started. So you got that.
Yeah, man. We were on a high. Hey, this podcast, we're playing tremendously. Let's go. And the next season just... It was a punch. Reality punched us in the face, basically. Mm-hmm. The Knicks fans. No, that's you missing the playoffs and playing terribly. Yeah. That's you. And yeah, but we continued. It's the way of cleansing the soul for the next week of torture.
Yep. All right. I got to read a word from our sponsor, and then I guess we'll wrap up with some questions from our listeners. Sound good?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? To make things sweeter, you can throw down on stepped-up same-game parlays once per game all season long. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code NYKP to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. It's code NYKP, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, so that was our sponsor, and I did it. It's a lot of fun, actually, doing I haven't done it on NFL, but I did NBA parlays. I love stringing together, like, 12 impossible parlays and having the chance of winning, like, $1,000 on a dollar. Haven't hit on that yet, but I did win $200 on a $5 bet once, so that was fun.
We tried to get into a kind of prediction betting competition last season. Didn't go so well, but yeah, we need to try and kind of alter it for this season and try and hopefully make it a bit more successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy betting on basketball. Basketball's hard.
It's not.
Yeah, every time I feel confident, like, something crazy happens and it just throws everything off.
Yeah.
We did have a funny competition between us that we each picked the same 10 games, and mm-hmm. we were trying to predict what happened in those 10 games. It went throughout the season. It was pretty funny, just me and Alex gathering points and Omar just staying behind. It was pretty fun. Something we did for fun, and it was we're good at this. Let's try and do bets,
mm-hmm.
and the bets didn't work. They did not work. Did we ever win a week?
Yeah, I think we got a couple, but they didn't make up for the didn't give me, make what? Up for the losses over the, an 82 game season.
So, in true Knicks fashion, yeah, okay,
yeah.
What I started doing is betting on any team other than the Knicks, because the Knicks are so unpredictable. You never know what team is going to show up. So, like, just pick a West Coast matchup and bet on that.
It's betting with your head rather than your heart as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Always a good idea.
So Anthony writes, with every Knicks fan giving up on Julius Randle, is he now the most underrated player on our team with the most potential to make an impact if playing right away?
You want to start, Omar? It's Omar? Did I call you Omar? I'm so... Julius Randle and Omar just go together. Rafa, sorry.
Well, I don't think he will be underrated. I think he was... Well, he had an amazing season. And so, obviously, he was the only focal point of our offense last year, two years ago. And that completely showed in the playoffs when we lost to the Hawks, because they knew who our offense was going through. And that was Julius Randle. And so basically that's what they did to us this year. Because Fournier was Evan Fournier. He played against the Celtics. And that's it. RJ was had a terrible start of the season. Quickly was terrible as well. Kemba was there. Mitch has the presence. Me and Mitch have the same offensive presence, basically. And it was just Julius Randle Island. And when the shots weren't falling or didn't begin not to fall, he got way too frustrated and everything collapsed around him. Well, he knocked him over, but whatever. It collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we the rest of the season, we saw other players trying to or showing themselves that, okay, I am ready to share the load of this. especially RJ Barrett, he, the inefficiency is a problem most games. Yeah, the free throw shooting, but we had some great outings of RJ Barrett being the number one guy on offense. And that to me, and even with Brunson on the team, that will help Julius Randle because they will have to be careful with other players, not only Randle. I think he'll have not an all-NBA season again, but I think he will pick up his form because he will have more space to operate if he doesn't go to the spin move of doom. That I saw that workout video in that runner or that floater. Mm-hmm. I had nightmares with it. I don't want to see the spin move into the floater. I won't continue. I will get a migraine.
But yeah, no, I kind of agree. It's I expect him to kind of make some form of improvement, but yeah, not enough to kind of think about. He's going to make the most improvement on the team. I wouldn't expect that. I would expect that from maybe somebody like Grimes. I think Randall, we have some hope for him. He showed towards the end of last season that, you know, he's willing to adapt his game a little bit. You know, he's a good passer. But you don't want him bringing up the ball. You want him as a secondary playmaker at most. But he is capable. If he can adapt his game, his usage went down. He clearly handed the kind of reins over to RJ. So I think there is hope. I think it's not just a case of... I think really just the pressure of the previous season, the expectations on him, you know, the All-NBA and everything. I think the pressure just got to him. As Rafa said, once the shot stopped falling, he didn't cope with it well. And I've got to admit, you know, I've got sympathy for him. You know, it's not hard in New York, pressure and the spotlight's on you every day. You know, it can't be easy, you know. So I'm going to give him a little bit of rope. That season, two seasons ago, you know, it was one of the most enjoyable I've had as a Knicks fan. So I think he's worth, you know, at least, half a season where we kind of see what we've got with him. So
my take is the season hinges on him. If he buys in, if he says Brunson is the point guard, I'm not going to play point forward and I'm going to play within, an offense and do my thing. I think he can be really good, borderline all-star again, and the Knicks are going to be good. If he says, I am the man, I'm the number one guy, and kind of freezes out Brunson a little bit and tries to run the offense through him, does his stupid spin move and turns the ball over a bunch, then the Knicks are going to be battling to get into the play-in tournament. And I think we're going to know very quickly which Randle we're going to get.
Yeah. Where do you think they're going to end up, Jay, position-wise? Do you play in?
I think play-in, it's just the Knicks finally got a decent roster after like a 20-year drought of the East being terrible. And now the East is like a legit conference again, and now the Knicks are all right. So, like, it's not a knock on the Knicks roster. I just think there's a lot of good teams in the East. I think there's like 11 legit teams in the East battling for 10 spots. So, yeah. I'm thinking they could finish, if everything goes perfect, RJ takes a leap, Randle buys in, et cetera, et cetera. They can go as high as maybe 6. If everything falls apart, I could see them finishing at 11th and missing the play-in tournament. I think it's a pretty big swing of outcomes for this season.
Sure. No, I completely agree with that.
We had a terrible season, and they did finish 11th. It was the last 5 games that we didn't compete for anything. Mm-hmm. So we had a terrible season, terrible Randle, and we were still in the middle of that play-in battle.
Yeah,
I don't think the Raptors are as good as they showed last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Bulls are as good as they showed last year because DeMar DeRozan went crazy. I would be very surprised if he can maintain the same level as last year. And Lonzo is out again. He's getting a surgery. I read before that we started recording. So we are in the mix, mm-hmm. and we are a young team. So. Think we can, I agree, we can get the tops, the 6th seed at best.
This is a related question. Frank writes, the Knicks won 37 games last year and now have a legit point guard in Brunson. I think they win 45 games this year, but unfortunately that'll only be good for like maybe eighth seed in the East based on last year's standings. What team will fall and what teams will rise in the East that will give the Knicks a chance to make the playoffs? Because I don't see any teams that have gotten worse. I think Charlotte's gotten worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. With Bridges.
Absolutely, yeah.
Chicago has a bunch of either injury-prone or aging players, DeRozan and Vucevic. So they can go either way. I could see them getting worse.
Yeah. They've got that guy back whose name's just escaped me now. Power forward that they drafted a couple of years ago. He's coming back with he's really, really highly rated. He was out for pretty much the whole season. Mm-hmm. Vucevic is just one of the worst defenders I've ever seen. just horrendous. I would love to see that, as much as I hate the Bulls, I would love to see them have a kind of hangover season, a little bit like the Knicks had, where they've overachieved and then, you know, kind of come back down to earth a bit this season. So, I could see them being one that could fall, maybe not as far as the Knicks, but I think just about teams that are maybe a little bit overrated. I could actually see Miami dropping a bit, not far, but dropping a little bit, a bit overrated. So the Hawks, I'm not convinced by the Hawks, to be perfectly honest.
Even with their new all-star point guard?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you know, they've given up a lot as well. They've lost a lot of their depth. And it'll be interesting to see, but I'm just not 100%. I mean, I don't think they're going to fall far, but I think they're a little bit overrated. So, but apart from that, it'd be interesting to see what happens with the Nets, how that's all going to shake out as well. So, they'll always have enough to obviously stay up in the higher positions, but I don't think they're going to blow anybody away this season.
Hawks were the ones I was going to mention, because they came out of an amazing season. They barely lost in the playoffs, and last year they sucked.
They lost Cam Reddish. That's right.
Yeah, you know it. No, but it's like the Hawks last year, they made the play. They started horrifically. They changed coach and they improved. This year, they kept the same coach, and they were bad all year long.
Mm-hmm.
The chemistry, that thing all around the team, I don't think it's solved. I think there's a lot of issues in there. See how Murray and Trae Young work. I think they will still be in the playoffs, but I don't know if everything can go to heck with John Collins, because he's a question mark right there, and it's tough. It's a tough position. Like you said, it's the East is the teams are really similar in the same area code, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries can take a shape here. I mean, the Nets, like Alex was saying, the Nets is also a question mark, because Kyrie Irving is there, and we don't know what Ben Simmons is. According to the list we mentioned before, he's a top 70-something player in the NBA. There's a year there he needs to play again, because he didn't play all of last year. He didn't play, and he hurt his back from all the sitting he did. It's wonderful. And I don't know, man. It's like I said, the Raptors and the Bulls and the Cavs. The Cavs will improve, but the Hornets without Bridges, they're a question mark as well. We don't know what they will be, because Bridges was a great part of that team as well. And I think it will be a battle, like we saw in the West for so many years.
Yeah, the Nets on paper look nasty, but you never know what Simmons and Kyrie Durant may change his mind again and want to trade again. So like, they're such a wild card. I think the Heat, the Hornets, and the Bulls probably go down a little. Cavs obviously got a lot better. I think Philly's a wild card too. But the Knicks, I think, will definitely take the Hornets 10th spot at least, and probably be battling Chicago for the 9th. That's my take right now.
Yeah, agree with that.
Frank writes, who should the Knicks target via trade? They can't possibly keep all those picks.
Shay, no.
Yeah, Shay's going to cost even more than Mitchell, so yeah.
Who just sprained his MCL and has been injured every year of his career, by the way.
Oh, well. Exactly, yeah. That's a thing. That's a big thing.
But, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't, you know, if we're talking star trades, I'd have to think differently, but I think, yeah, I think some kind of maybe defensive-minded small forward, maybe.
Wiggins.
I mean, I initially laughed at that report, and then I thought, well, actually, it fits quite well. But
cap-wise, they don't have room to sign everybody, and they have to choose between Poole and Wiggins, is the rumor. And I would go – Wiggins seems like the perfect piece for the Knicks, the missing piece they need.
Yeah, I'd agree. Although, does he step on RJ's toes? I mean, it depends what you want to do with RJ, but
reason what you want Wiggins to do with the Knicks. If you want him to be the first option, he's not that guy. So
he seemed comfortable being
a guy
to
help.
Yeah, he seemed comfortable being the third or fourth option in Golden State. I don't see why he wouldn't be comfortable in that role on the Knicks.
Yeah, that role. Yeah, he can probably do it better than Fournier, because Wiggins can defend.
Yeah,
Fournier can't.
Yeah,
well, can't as well. He sometimes he can't, to be fair, but the Golden State Warriors, wouldn't it make more sense for them to shock everybody and trade Klay Thompson, keep Poole and Wiggins, the guys who helped Curry win another title, because Thompson wasn't that amazing, because he got back from injury, he's older. Franchise-wise, it would make more sense, but that's just me throwing it out there.
I don't think it's the sort of thing the Warriors would do. I think they'd give him a kind of legacy contract. And,
yeah.
Like with Curry, and I think they'd just try and keep them together as long as possible.
Strictly business, I think it makes sense, but I think he's royalty over there, and Curry, Green, and Thompson are just, they're going to keep them well into, you know, they're probably going to retire in Golden State if they want to, just because of what they've done to the franchise. Because they don't want to get cursed. Like when, say, you have a center that's been on the team for 15 years and then you trade him to Seattle at the end of his career, and then your franchise is cursed forever. I don't know who would possibly be dumb enough to do that, but moving on.
That went sour quickly. My God.
Sorry, I can't not be bitter. It's a problem.
It's a Knicks thing. It's a Knicks thing.
Yeah.
But to the question that Frank May, I think it was his name.
Yeah.
Missing Frank Grandier these days.
I don't think it's the same Frank.
Right,
You can't really be sure in this league who you can target, because things change so quickly. Like, did anyone expect that the season would start with, or the preseason would start with Gobert getting traded like that to Minnesota, of all places? Like, things change so quickly. Look at the Nets. They were all wanted out, and now they want in. Mm-hmm. They're here to play. It's like, things change. Guys can get frustrated in a team and request a trade for whatever reason they get. So it's good to have the assets, but we need to be paying attention to the next guy that wants out, even if it's a Wiggins that wants out, or the team can't maintain him. Like, we need to pay attention to that. Okay, let's get him. Let's improve. He's better than Fournier, like I was mentioning, Wiggins. So he's I wouldn't mind him. He's a good possibility, a guy, a champion who can help improve the team.
Yeah. And then to the second part, they can't possibly keep all those picks. I don't think there's a big market for those heavily protected picks, and I think some of them are going to convert to second rounders or maybe just disappear. I mean, I think the Washington picks this year's top 18. goes down to maybe 12, and I don't see them making the playoffs anytime soon. So that's going to convert to a second or two in like 3 or 4 years. So that one's, I think, almost worthless. The Bucks pick is going to be very late 20s, 27th pick. I don't think there's a big market for that. So it sounds good saying we have all these first rounders. I don't really know the value of them, though.
I think that, you know, if we ever do get back into the draft, I mean, they can be used just to move up one or two places, maybe. But if they targeted a specific player, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. Either that or just a throw in to make the money work in a trade or something. Yeah, but
yeah, I don't think that's going to be like a godfather thing to get us this all-star we've been waiting for. I think it's just going to be like a ancillary, like throw in type of thing.
Yep.
Daryl says, what exactly are all the picks for? You got me. I would have much rather the Knicks actually use their pick this year instead of trading down and doing all this stuff for picks that apparently have no value at all. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
It's an NBA thing, right? Presti wants to gather all the picks. Ainge likes to gather picks. Every team wants to gather all the picks.
But they're not gathering heavily protected picks. Their picks have value.
But to get unprotected picks, you're going to need like to trade top-level talent, which we've already discussed we don't have. So, I mean, even if you traded RJ in the open market now, I mean, what do you think you would get back from pick-wise?
I think you can get unprotected.
Yeah. Two? Maybe.
I won't even humor that thought, trading RJ Barrett. I won't even.
Yeah, I would think two.
Yeah.
If the Knicks could not get two for the number three pick, then they've done something wrong, I think.
Yeah.
And the last question, Frank writes, most overrated and underrated Knick?
I'm assuming he means current.
Yeah.
So overrated. Yeah, I really like Obi. But, you know, and it was a toss up between Obi and Mitch. I've got issues with both of them. I like both of them, but they've both got huge holes in their games. And they're both, you know, been in the league, you know, a few years now. And yes, they've improved, but not a great rate, or not as a rate that I'd kind of hoped for. And you know, with Mitch, you know, there's always been the attitude issues. It's well reported. Obi, great attitude. You know, seems like a great guy. Seems like a great teammate and everything. But again, you know, he's so one-dimensional, and as I've already said, you know, he can really only play one position. I think fans just have kind of fallen in love with the dunks, fallen in love with the, you know, the big signature plays and things. Yes, I like him as a player, but I just, you know, he's not my favourite player, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Underrated, well, I'd probably say Grimes again. I know he's getting a lot of love these days, but yeah, I just love his game. And you mentioned Klay Thompson earlier. He's, you know, one of my favourite non-Knicks in the league. So, Grimes isn't Klay Thompson by any means, but, you know, you can see the kind of parallels in their games a little bit. So,
mm-hmm.
Just love his hustle and his defence. And obviously his shot is beautiful. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'd definitely be my underrated then, I guess.
Okay. I'll start with the overrated ones. And I'm on a fence here, so I'll say two names.
Okay.
Because it's players that can do no wrong. It's Obi is one of them, and the other one, Alex already knows who it is. To me, it's Quickly.
Mm-hmm.
He is he's a great guy coming off the bench. I like his energy, but I also think he needs to improve in so many aspects of the game. That's why I want him to get the idea of him playing the number one position, the point guard position more, so him to learn how to pace his game. Because we all know that if Quickly hits a three-pointer, the first one, it's the second one, The third one will come a half court shot, terrible shot, terrible shot selection. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
At least one or two shots, terrible shot selection, just throwing it up because I hit the first two. It's a quickly signature. And I think he should improve that, pacing his game, knowing when to, well, his shot quality at least. It's a big Nick thing, young guys, the shot quality. They know when to attack or when to pass it out. Something he needs to learn. It's what I think. And Obi is, I think Obi's got drafted into a really tough position. And because no one expected Randall to have an all-NBA season. So Randall, if we go all around podcasts and Twitter, Randall was going to be traded two seasons ago. Then he played amazingly, and he stayed, and Obi stayed here. And Obi's like the king of the Randall haters.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets heavily overrated because of that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that amazingly in games to be this highly regarded.
Mm-hmm.
And underrated, I'm going probably for a swerve here, but I would say Evan Fournier.
That was mine.
People gave him... Yeah, people give him, and I have given him so much shit because I said it today. His defense isn't good. He's terrible. He only played against the Celtics. Those are things I said, but I know them. It's like he is not that bad as people said. You can't say a guy had a terrible season when he broke your 3-point record.
Yeah, franchise record, 3-point made. In a season,
I mean,
Fournier.
He did something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the chemistry with Randall wasn't totally there, and that hurt both of them. And I'm not getting too much into this because Alex will whack me, but Tibbs didn't help either of them without let him play.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't work together. It wasn't working perfectly, and so. Him, Randall, because of the Play the Kids crowd, Randall and Fournier got all of the shit, got everything on them.
Mm-hmm.
And Fournier was, I think he was important in many games, many situations, hitting those three-pointers, making some plays as well. Even on defense, he made some good plays. So I think he's heavily underrated in this Knicks team.
Yeah, I agree. He was talked about as, like, got to move him, he's trash. He's not amazing, but he's all right. He's fine, and I think that alone makes him probably the most underrated. Overrated, this is where I start a riot. I'm going to say RJ. Not that I don't like him. I like RJ. Save all your emails. I don't want him. I'm just saying he's very inefficient. People are calling him the king of New York, and they're saying we should build a franchise around him. I like him again. I like him. Don't send all the hate mail, but I just don't think he's the number one guy right now, and he's got to work on his efficiency. People are also talking about, you know, his lockdown defense. Sometimes he does, but I think his defense is also inconsistent. So for those reasons, I'm going to say he's overrated right now. Not saying he can't be a better. He's only 22, but I think people have already put him on this level that he's not at right now. So that's... I don't
let
think
me I'll defend the honor of the House of Barrett. No, but I agree. He is not a perfect player. He has his, well, we all said this one time or another. He's really young. He's developing.
Mm-hmm.
He got drafted into the Knicks in a, well, rebuilding entire franchise thing. So he's kind of tough situation. He developed. He got better. His efficiency isn't great. It's true. We all screamed at the free throw line when he's there. It's mm-hmm. it's true. I do it as well. But it's refreshing to have say someone a young player is the new king of New York instead of the 2 week Jeremy Lin,
because
he was the king of New York for 2 weeks, and then it was Landry Fields. And like, okay, let's bet on someone, because I said it many times. If we have the best bet we have to get a superstar or the number one guy is the guy from RJ Barrett's generation. It's not from Randall's. It's not from the friend of Evan Fournier. No, it's an RJ Barrett friend. I'm not saying it's Zion. It's someone from that generation. I think that's the generation where we finally get a star to come play with RJ Barrett.
Yeah. Yeah, before, you know, people get all up in arms, I'd rather RJ than Zion. So, putting it out there.
Ooh. One at least plays, right?
Exactly, exactly. Zion's injury history scares the hell out of me, and I would not feel comfortable if he was on the Knicks right now. I have no faith that this guy is going to all of a sudden turn around and have a healthy career. I know people have done it. Embiid's done it. That list is like Embiid and like one other player. Like when you get that injured that often, it's usually like that's your career. So
red flags.
Yeah.
That 7 foot five French guy that's coming into the league next year, he's going to be the same. He's going to.
You calling it now? Wembanyama, it's injury prone.
Yeah, I'm seeing it now.
it's tough with the tall guys. I mean, Holmgren's out already out for the season.
Yeah,
when you're that tall, I don't think the human body's meant to be doing that at that height.
Yeah,
and you're that tall and that slim.
Yeah,
put some weight, please.
Not as much as Zion, but yeah.
Well, Zion comes down with such kind of force as well that the pressure on his knees and back must be incredible.
I'm not even worried about the knees and back; it's the foot. When you fracture your foot, I'm thinking like yow, like it's you know, not a lot of people have recovered. Like Embiid was a knee issue. I've seen players recover from knee issues. Usually, when you're fracturing your foot, that's like that's a problem.
I agree. Yeah.
I think I've kept you guys long enough. It's getting really late over there. No. So thank you guys for coming on. You guys want to plug your stuff?
Yeah. Well, just the Worldwide Knicks podcast. Usually it's three of us. I say Omar as well. Hopefully Jay, you and Mark can maybe come on our podcast sometime in the future. But you guys want to search that out, you know, just all the usual places you can get that. We're not on YouTube, unlike you guys, but Twitter wise, Rafa, you're the Twitter guy, so you take us on. I don't even know our address.
I'm always taking the blame for the Twitter guy, which is amazing. But you can search us WWNicksPodcast on Twitter. I vent my frustrations at everything happens with the world of the Knicks. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes Alex goes there and creates chaos. Then I have to clean up. It's pretty fun. You can actually tell when it's different people talking. You can
definitely tell
when it's somebody.
Same with our account.
You can tell. So it's pretty funny like that. Come following us. Come follow us. We interact with it. Everybody talking Knicks. It's just having fun. So it's beautiful. Like I wake up at 8 a.m. So nobody's active. It's like just like Europeans talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then 11 p.m., 12 p.m. here, everybody starts in the United States, start getting up for work. And hey, everybody is awake now. I can talk Knicks. It's pretty funny.
That's cool. And we are NY Knicks Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Patreon. We do the shows live on Twitch, twitch.tv/crumpledbacon. That's crumpled with a P. And youtube.com/TITOWAJ. There's stories behind both of those. I'm not going to get into those right now. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. We would love to join you guys sometime as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us, man.
Speak soon. A lot of fun, man. Thank you.
All right, we'll do it again soon.